Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Here comes the love train.
We definitely have to consider and prepare for the one possibility that he'll be right here at midnight, Pacific Standard Time.
Why?
Because he has a compulsion to kill on the hour. It's a sequential drama with Miss Sullivan as the link, and it's building step by step to a grand climax.
This is evil.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 448. It is our final episode of 2019. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. What if Bruce Jenner was a serial killer Dunaway?
Well, we saw the movie. Now let's talk about the show. Oh, hi. Switchblade open, switchblade closed. Switchblade open, switchblade. Shh, shh, be quiet, evil. You want the pretty lady with the hair beads and white leisure suit to know I'm hiding behind the shower curtain just inches away? Their answer is, not yet. So, switchblade open, switchblade closed, switchblade open, switchblade. Oh, it's time. All right, I just need a little redirection, a little cold water drip shower should do it. Oh, here comes the hand. Oh, the hand is here. Oh, wow. Would you just look at that manicure? That's nice. I really don't take good enough care of evil's hands. No, I do not. Ah, crap. Hand's gone. Focus, evil. Focus. Switchblade open. Switchblade closed. Switchblade open. Switchblade. Oh, I think she left the bathroom. Let's try this again. Cold water activated. Oh, too much. Too much. Stupid hotel shower handles and their mysteries. Oh, she's coming back. And now here comes the hand. Focus. Happy New Year's, lady. Reek, reek, reek. And blade boob stab. Great. Just look, look. Now I have blood all over me. But no worries. I'm already in the shower, so I'll just turn on a little water and too much. Too much! Oh, how I hate you, hotel shower, and how you have castrated me. And that is not nice.
Wow, you really stayed in that opener scene there. That's great.
I had to stay in the shower because I've always been curious. I mean, we always think about the shower killer guy, but that's a lot of work standing in the shower, feet probably getting a little wet. You know what I mean? It's not a good place to hang out.
Yeah. Well, nobody wants to be. Bot,
all she was trying to do is turn it off, though. It was just dribbling.
Yeah.
She kept trying to turn it off.
Yeah. Shower dribble. All right. Also with us, Randy, no one will recognize me in this mustache, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Brian.
Hi. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling me, you know, me, your forlorn son. Mom, I'm sad. Can't you see? All I want is attention from you, and there's a killer on the loose. Mom, the way you're treating me is, it's supposed to make the audience think that I might be the killer. So, I'm going to need you to tell the killer next time he calls you to stop showing his face that's clearly not my face.
All right.
I mean, Mom, they're supposed to be wondering if the killer might be your agent or he might be me. And just tell him, you know, put on a mask or something. Are you even listening to me?
No. No, Mommy was not.
I hate Derek so much. Oh, Derek.
Oh, little Laura Fauntleroy, you hated him?
Here's what's funny, though. That dude has way more of a career than anyone else in here, and he's the worst actor by a mile.
I'm sorry. I know we're doing our greetings, but have you ever known anyone in your life who, when spoken to, looks directly away off into the middle distance from the person who's speaking to them?
No, they don't exist in real life. This is a
just
fake...
longingly looking at that space.
This is a fake person. Well, this is perfect timing because now we have Brian. Derek really sucks a bit.
Derek really does suck. Yeah. Hey, welcome back to Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve. I'm your host, Ryan Seacrest. That was Ariana Grande over there on our Times Square stage singing her latest hit, K-Thanks Bye. I guess we're going to the phones now to see what song you want to hear, because that's a thing we do now. Hello, caller. Who's this? You can call me Evil. I'm disguising my voice. Wow. Okay. Weird name. Hey, what did you think of that Ariana Grande song, Evil? If I wanted to hear caterwauling like that, I'd go to a feline adoption center. Well, okay. What can I do for you, Evil? I'm going to murder someone every hour, on the hour, at midnight, in every time zone. Much like that Mariah Carey performance earlier murdered my ears. I don't want to be rude, but the whole thing sounded to me like a performance that you'd hear while you were waiting to ride the Ferris wheel at a carnival. Yikes. Okay, well, nice. Coming up, we've got Demi Lovato from our MTV stage. Can I just interrupt you here? If I'm being honest, Demi Lovato sounds like the noises my cleaning people make when they come over to fish the leaves out of my swimming pool. Evil, your voice seems kind of familiar. Is this Paula Abdul?
Yeah.
I love it. The choice of making him sound British. I'm curious about that. I like that.
He kind of did that.
I scrapped my original plan because I knew Brian Ibbett would do something like it, and that I now realize they would have gone together pretty well. My whole thing was a riff on The Voice, you know, the TV show The Voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding.
And imagining if it was in 1980.
Nice.
And they would have. Okay, well done, my friend.
Actually, there's a really. I have a big question about the date here, because so there's for some reason two versions on Amazon Prime, and one version. And I'm glad we went. I'm glad that. So Brian Ibbett says, "I just watched the one with the longer description," and then Randy said, "I did that too," and I thought, "Well, I'm going to do that too." And so I did. And then later, it's a long story, but I kind of had to watch part of this in a car. I don't want to explain why, but because I had to do that, I had it downloaded to an iPad. I was watching it in the car, and I was writing down timestamps for clips and things like that so I could do them later. And when I got home, I went to go continue it, and I couldn't remember which version I had started. So I started the version that had the shorter description, but also said 1979 on it instead of 1980. Which is weird. Well, it's weird because in the listing, in the search listing, it says 1979, 1980. When you actually pull it up to its full view, they both say 1980. It's the really funky like bug or something. I don't know what's happening over at Amazon Prime Video. But anyway, I fire this thing up and the sound on it is horrific. It's terrible.
And that's the one I watched, because the one I watched had terrible sound.
Yeah, I think you may have watched that one, because the second one, the one with the longer description, which I did flip back to, had way better sound clarity and quality. It also had a better intro for the logos and stuff. Like, I think these are just two really different transfers, and I don't know why they've got them both.
Sounds like the transfer. I was wondering if there was just like a difference in nudity, because one of the first things you see in the film are a bunch of cars, you know, cruising down what I'm guessing is like Hollywood Boulevard or something. Mm-hmm. And there's a shot of a woman about to lift up her top in a van next to the punker mobile, and they cut away from it. I'm wondering, I wonder if they had to
the
trim
one
out
I
some
saw
money.
Had the one I saw had the full shirt. She pulled it up and you saw boobs. So there must have been some difference, because I saw boobs in that scene.
Did you see they cut back to her, and you saw boobs as she was driving away, but it definitely cut away just as she was lifting her.
Yeah, it seemed like less boobs. I'll bet you if we watch the other one, even though they have the exact same running time, I think the other one might be edited slightly more adult. Maybe there was more blood. I don't know.
Mm. So my question is one version of these movies, this movie, sorry, is one of the versions of this movie, does it have credits that just run at the same speed beginning to end? Because that would be where you would find all the time, right? If you cut some things from the body of the film, you could add the time back by just running the credits like a normal human being.
No, but I did want to see that because I read about that in the Goofs or the trivia or something on IMDb, that when they're showing the cast, like the actors, they're showing like in the end credits, it runs at a normal speed, and then as soon as they're done with the actors and actresses, it like goes like super fast, and then slows down for the soundtrack.
Yeah. F those guys. They got to get the legal stuff out there, but F everybody else who worked on this movie, because you're not as important as the main cast, I guess. So we should probably say the name. The movie is called New Year's Evil. New Year's Evil, I think.
Can
officially,
you say it like Blaze says it?
He says
New Year's Evil.
Evil.
She says it New Year's Evil. Yeah. We're calling it New Year's Evil.
Yeah. You mean Belaze, the lady.
You mean Pinky Tuscadero from Happy Days?
There you go.
Wait, that's not who that is, is it? That's not
that is exactly who it is.
Yes.
There's a couple of actresses that I recognize from 80s TV.
Oh, please tell me the other one was Terry Copley from We Got It Made.
Wait.
I believe that's who that was.
What? Shut up. Sure. I didn't look too deep. I didn't realize these people were in this. That's amazing.
Yes, Terry Copley from the show that tried to be as highbrow as Bosom Buddies. We got it made. Yeah. Terry Copley, who played the maid, she was the teenage girl in the back of the drive-in movie car.
That's amazing.
You can do me. I won't put up much of a fuss.
You know, that's what the kids were saying in 1980.
That's right.
We'll much of a fuss. They sure said use the John a lot. But anyway, we'll get to all this. I am going to just put it out there now so that we can just let it drape over everything else like gravy on potatoes, okay? Uh-huh. I think this is my favorite Film Sack movie of 2019.
Wow. That says a lot because we've seen a lot of trash this year.
I hated this so much. I had so much stupid fun with it. It was so bad good. Yeah. I want more like this. I want more weird ones like that. At some point, we're going to run into another name like this and go, oh, what's this? And I'm hoping we catch another one of these kinds of things because it is the schlockiest, but you know, earnestly made, but terribly done things. And I had so much fun with this. I was laughing. I was grinning ear to ear. There were moments in it where I just was like, what is this inexplicable dialogue you're having? Why are you having it? This son is the worst son. And then, we go down these rabbit holes. We go down, dive deep into an IMDb profile and find out, oh, that guy's working. Like, he's done. Right. He's doing all sorts of stuff. Whereas the people I thought would go on to do other things, like serial killer Bruce Jenner, he didn't do anything really after this. So...
I was rare to find a film where they screw something up in every scene.
Right.
At least one.
I would like to talk for a minute about the son. Because yes.
Derek?
Derek. Okay, so I got full confession here. I watched this. I was highly drugged out because I wasn't feeling well. So I was under some influence. The drugs I was taking says do not operate heavy vehicles or...
Oh, machinery. You don't want to do that.
Are you okay?
Right.
Done away or
oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. It's just that time of year. Let's get sick. So I'm fine. But the point is this. I tried to keep coherence in the plot in my mind. And so some of this stuff may be wrong, but I got a question for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Am I to understand, Randy had mentioned that Derek wasn't the killer, but didn't Derek kill the first lady in the shower? Wasn't he the guy in the shower? Because wasn't he also the guy at the end in the ambulance?
No.
Because wasn't he like mirroring?
He was mirroring the guy in the end of the ambulance because they really, really wanted to set up a sequel.
Yeah.
really wanted to set one up. Yeah. But it was evil in the shower.
This is a script without a handler. Like the beginning of the movie, you're supposed to wonder who the killer was. But then they immediately start showing you, letting you know exactly who the killer is for the middle 80% of the movie. And it's like, oh, okay, so much for the fun of that. Like,
well, the reason why I got confused, but you don't know who he is. Right. Mm-hmm. The reason why I have a question about that is because the MO of the killer here is to always kill at midnight, but the girl who died in the shower didn't die at a New Year's time. And actually,
yes, she did. Okay. She died at New Year's Iceland time. You just didn't know that.
Well, I thought about that, but she died before he made his announcement. And he said he's going to kill somebody that's close to you at midnight, but then he ended up killing Nurse Ratched
Randos.
So I wasn't quite sure because I just didn't feel like there was a definitive answer. But once again,
the script needed a few tweaks to be so interesting. Mm-hmm. It just bugs me. Like this is another one of those movies where you could tell the filmmakers really wanted to get some focus on the music. And they were like super interested, and we're gonna like put these songs out there like right out of the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
The first song in the movie is awesome. And I'm like,
the title song, right?
Yeah, these guys really know what they're doing. And then it's like, oh, right, but there's a whole other movie here. They need to tell a story. I can't just have music here and there.
Right, we were in the punk Seattle scene, right? Isn't that what was going on?
Well, Los Angeles. Yeah.
Right. Well, I thought the band who was featured in there was a Seattle band.
They might have been the band Seattle made in Japan.
Shadow.
So these were actual. Doing? That was a big question of mine because I couldn't tell if these were actual bands. They were terrible, no matter what they were. But
oh, I loved Shadow. What are you talking about? Hated. Oh, I love Shadow.
Awesome. That guy was great. No, I need to make this very clear today. They're my favorite band in any movie in Film Sack we've seen. Like everything about
they're the
this
most
is
consistent
just...
band we've seen in any movie.
Wait. You're talking consistent. The band that did a punk rock track, then a heavy metal slow ballad, and then a Stevie Ray Vaughan style blues number.
My consistent is that they kept featuring this talent throughout the film, so they didn't hop around a lot.
Mm. Yeah, and I need you guys to start using their proper name, Rock Band Shadow. Okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
They are Rock Band Shadow. They're not
Rock
Shadow.
Band Shadow.
I'm serious.
So. Are we to believe that people could call into this this New Year's Eve show, this live telecast, and request songs, and the most popular song would be played by the band that plays it, or no, just
is,
by Shadow or Made in
this
Japan?
This was kind of like this was VJ time, right? But 1980s before MTV, there was some variety shows that kind of did
this. Local, right?
Yeah, they didn't really get popular until the 80s.
Don't you love the idea that there was a whole world before anybody cared about streaming rights?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They would just play music? Like you could just call in and give the wrong name for a Pink Floyd song and someone might just play it? Like, that's just awesome.
It is pretty awesome. I mean, in this particular case, though, like, they were skirting around the edges. The music itself seemed fake and not real, and like someone made it up.
I thought it felt very real.
Well, I guess all music's made up, but you know what I mean. Like, it just it felt pretty cheese bag. And then they, you know, the lady called in and says, "I want to vote for We Don't Need No Education."
Yeah.
Which is not the name of the song. It's not the name of the damn song.
I can't wait for like a running gag kind of thing going on, but it never happened. Yeah. That kind of disappointed in that part.
I agree. I wish they would have, you know, leaned into that and somebody else would have called in and said, I don't know, what's another good song from that era? It would have been like...
Almost Paradise. I know it was a little bit later, but...
Walkway to Heaven or something dumb.
I'd like to play Singing Sweet Songs, Melodies Pure and True.
Yeah, just like alternate titles, the songs we know would have been a funny running gag, and they only did it the one time, but...
Right. So what was that one VJ accent that she was using?
It's so bad, like, dude. I hate it.
I couldn't figure out what it was. I was like...
Hey,
disinterested, disaffected, rock and punker girl host.
Yeah, that could have been so good if they'd leaned into it and they'd had her, you know, had her have this like real serious straight voice outside of it and really go for it when she's on the air. Mm-hmm. That could have been so fun. Yeah. But instead, we don't get either.
Yeah, this is kind of
half-assed.
What was
Roz Kelly doing at this time? Was she anybody at this point? I mean...
She was really Tuscadero on Happy Days.
Yeah, I mean, besides that, though, I mean, was she doing anything?
Why? Well, to me, she looked like she's in great shape. Like somebody with a she's like a 25-year-old body, but with a 48-year-old head. It was the weird combo.
Well, that's because of the hair and makeup.
Yeah, you're probably right. But and actually, all the women kind of look that way to me. I'm not, you know, again, no judgment, whatever. Everyone looks how they look. But she didn't do much after this. She was well past her not prime. I'm not trying to say that, but like her work.
Activity.
Petered out after this, and so I think that her best stuff was behind her, and she was just sort of slumming it here. But the weirdest thing is the guy that played Derek. I gotta find his name. Hold on, it's right here. It's
Derek
Grant Kramer,
pop color Derek,
who is just horrendous in this, and delightfully so. Just so bad. He's got the craziest bunch of photos. You go look at his photos, and here he is hanging out with Rob Reiner. Here he is, and these are all recentish photos. Here he is sitting on the set of The Departed with freaking Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio just hanging out.
This is on his IMDb page?
Yeah, like here he is. Here he is with Pierce Brosnan and what's her eyebrow? Can't think of
what's her eyebrow? Well,
so basically, he's just a guy who's able to run up and say, "Hey, can I take a selfie with you, Rob Reiner?"
Yeah. Like, but it's this really guy, crazy.
This anyway. Guy, I did not know this, but he is playing Mike Tobacco. Did he do the original role?
Yeah,
the Killer Clowns. The Return of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space, this time in 3D.
Yeah, he was in the 88 film. He was in that thing.
I thought so.
Yeah.
So he might be a guy who's just, who maybe didn't get cast in a lot of movies besides this and Hard Bodies, but somehow became friends with that age of actor in Hollywood, like Leonardo DiCaprio and... Gets invited to parties, but maybe wasn't had, a lot of things.
You think he hung out with some other people too? Like they had like a whole crowd, like some kind of brats or something. You know what I mean? Like
here's the brats. Shot. Oh, well, actually, yeah. So you see the shot of him with Pierce Brosnan and Salma Hayek.
Yeah.
One of his IMDb pages. He's got a set of headphones and a Walkman, like he's or not a Walkman, but like a. I think he's like a monitor. Crew. Yeah, there like working crew on some of this stuff.
He might be.
This guy just loves movies.
It says he's a producer. What level of producer? I don't know. Like, there's got a lot of producer credits in here, but he's also got a lot of. I mean, it's mostly acting credits, and it's a weird mix. Like, he spent a bunch of time on The Young and the Restless in the '90s. He was in.
Yeah, he's got. He does have that soap opera look. I mean, he's got the look of a. 80s picking on the nerds, but we'll get his comeuppance in the end.
Yes, exactly. He's a character.
Yeah, he's too a little too handsome to be taken seriously, right? Is that what it is?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. They're kind of handsome that I don't like, though. It's kind of a creepy...
Did you just say a little too handsome to be taken seriously?
A little too handsome to really be taken.
Because that's awesome.
Too handsome.
Yeah, a little too handsome. Everyone's got a little too handsome going on. But anyway, he's just the weirdest. I found him to be fascinating. I kept looking him up. And I'm like, hold on, he's barely acting. Like, what? How does he know these people? He's sitting next to Scorsese. What are you doing? Like, how is this even a thing? But
apparently. He just likes being there. He's just kind of Hollywood guy. You know what I mean?
He's getting around.
Yeah, he does have a lot of shots of him with stuff that the crew of a movie would be wearing, like headphones and casual Friday, not acting clothes.
Did Mike Tobacco make it to the first Killer Clowns? I thought he died.
Isn't this 3D thing not? It's not a remake. It's my understanding is it's
redid it or something.
Yeah,
like
it's
original?
remastered.
There's the word.
Yeah, I think that's.
No, I'm
the
not
case.
Interested. I'm not interested in that. I wanted some new Killer Clowns.
Oh, same.
No,
here.
It says the return. It says the return at the top. So,
well, if it's the same cast, I would think that maybe there's something fruity. Yeah.
So, it says after 30 years since their last invasion, the clowns once again try to take over Earth. The humans.
Oh, this
must
is right.
Them.
This is a new thing. Okay, I was looking. Yeah. I was looking back for an older Killer Clowns. No, this is something that's been announced but hasn't even been filmed or anything.
Right, here's the storyline: two circus performers who are stranded in the mountain town of Kismet. The new clowns invade when their car breaks down. The two will have to save the world from returning killer clowns while they are being blamed for what is happening.
I hope they keep the the weird makeup look of the clowns for the new movie, because that was the creepiest thing with the way that their makeup of their faces moved.
Practical effects are way creepier than really good special CGI effects.
Yeah, especially when in the right hands, and even when they're cheesy, they're there's something compelling about the physicality of it all. Like it's almost like, you know what it is? It's CGI is so good now. Like, it's so good now. that it's no longer a question of reality. Like you see it and it's immediately believable. You're like, yeah, that's hair, yeah, that's face, that's whatever. But it doesn't have that. And even though I know there's a ton of artistry going on, like a ton of artistry going on,
so much,
it hides that old artistry of a dude made that with a freaking knife and a thing and sculpted it. And
did you guys watch the new His Dark Materials yet?
Not yet. No.
I haven't seen any of the His Dark Materials yet.
So, but you know the story, right? There's like sentient. There's like sentient bears in this universe, like bear.
Yeah, it's like the Golden Compass movie had the bear in it and stuff. Yeah.
So now
are bears not normally aware that they're bears?
No. Yeah, right.
No,
they're not. What am I?
No,
I'm
and they don't speak powerful. And they don't speak English and they don't stand around and walk and have like societies and stuff.
Yeah.
So. In the new His Dark Materials, HBO, I think. Is that right? I think it's HBO.
It is HBO. Correct. That is correct.
They have bears that are like real. These are, I can't explain it. It's
like,
it's
are they Russian bears? Because, you know, Russia's had smart bears forever, right?
These are, but I just don't, we've reached a point now where, the video game technology to present something that's not real, that was created in a computer, is so good that we no longer have a way to talk about the difference between the live action actor and the freaking bear that she's walking along next to talking to.
Yeah.
They're that may as well just be live action. It's so good.
That's my point. Like and that's great. Like in some ways that's amazing. And we got there. Cause that's what they all wanted. They all wanted illusion and they wanted to create, Harryhausen wasn't trying to make sure it was kitschy and jerky and weird. He was saying, no, what if we made it just look even closer to the idea that they're fighting a bunch of skeletons on the coast? Like, that's what they were aiming for. And now we're there without any flaws. Like, it's just perfect. Mm-hmm. But you lose something
in certain areas. I mean, we still can't. The human mind is still too fixed on the human face that we study it so often that we can't be fooled. However, it's tough to do the human face. A bear is a lot easier because we don't look at bears in the face.
I want to agree with you, but I think we're saying as we enter a new decade, we all just saw Princess Leia or General Leia,
right?
Mm-hmm. And none of us were like, oh, well, that's
you could also
valley.
Say the same thing
like,
about
no, it's just her.
But it's still a learning process for the human mind to just to separate the two, because when Jurassic Park came out, I would have told you that's right there is a dinosaur on the screen. Right. That looks as real as any dinosaurs I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But now when I go back and look at it, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty not the greatest.
Yeah, not only that, but I think in the case of the faces, you're not wrong. Like we're so pattern recognition focused on faces that it is more difficult. But where you see that succeed wildly is when there's any sort of stylization added to it. I recently started, because it was on sale and I'm a sucker for sales, I started playing the new Modern Warfare on my PC, and the character animation and mouth rigging and stuff is so far beyond what they've done in the past. It's not 100% perfect, and there's still a little uncanny valley, but I think we're getting there, dude. Like, we are, and that's in real-time rendered stuff. We're already amazing at it in pre-rendered stuff, and the reason Avatar worked almost 11 years ago, and still does in some ways, is that the faces were stylized and stretched and, not cartoonized, but what I mean? There was style added there that you can get away with that pattern thing, because now our brains are like, oh, well, these are aliens and their eyes are bigger, but the realism stuff stays. Same with World of Warcraft opening cinematics or something.
Alita Battle Angel is amazing looking. I mean, you look at her face and her gestures, and it's really good, but the fact their eyes are like, six times bigger.
Ginormous. Yeah.
Right. So it's all, like you said, it's a little bit of that.
That probably is one of the better recent examples, right? Is Alita Battle Angel just something in the last few months that...
I haven't seen that yet. Should I see that?
Oh, you haven't seen that? Oh, dude, definitely.
I just want to call out my good friend Scott Johnson here right now in real time.
Were
you actually speaking to us and posting on Facebook at the same time, Scott Johnson?
No. That thing from earlier was a timed post. I have a timed
scheduled post.
I have a scheduled post because they're just all popping right now. Probably.
I would really like to believe that you can multitask to such a degree that you could be recording an episode of this podcast while posting a funny thing with imagery on Facebook. Amazing.
I did it before the show and scheduled a bunch of posts.
I think it's pretty amazing. Randy can, you know, be perusing Facebook while we're talking.
Yeah, that's just a level
up.
Yeah.
I have notifications on and all sorts of things, and it came up. When the notification came on, Scott was literally talking in my ear, and I was just like, "What?
Amazing!" Yeah, I'm surfing the web for pictures of Terry Copley, but that's related to the movie. So
now, let me ask you this:
I'm surfing
the
web for pictures of Charlton Copley.
Oh, good. Well, then you've made the right choice. Now hold on a second. This is Copley person. She's the one in the car with the dude.
She's the one in the car. It wasn't until the end credits and seeing that it was Terry Copley that I had to go back and point it out to Tina and then pull up a YouTube video of an old TV show called We Got It Made from the 80s. Yeah. Horrible TV show about a couple bachelors. One of the guys is that
horrible
guy that you kind
Come
of loved.
On.
Oh, it was horrible. Matt McCoy, I think is his name. Horrible. Well, known for being a bad actor in like Star Trek. And he was the other Beta Zed. That was kind of smarmy with Troy.
Yes.
So he was one of the bachelors, and there was this other doofy bachelor guy, and they had this really, really attractive maid played by Terry Copley, who came in the house and was basically like the Suzanne Summers. She'd get excited and jump up and down, not wearing a bra and stuff like that. That was the whole. It was, you know,
that
for people. I said this before, but it was basically for people who found Bosom Buddies too highbrow.
Yeah. And needed something a little bit. I remember this, and that guy you're talking about.
Matt McCoy, Hand the Rocks, The Cradle. He's in a lot of stuff. Oh, what was he in Seinfeld? Lloyd Braun.
That's what I was trying to get to. Is Lloyd Braun? There it is.
Can a TV series last five seasons really be as bad as you say it is? I mean,
We Got It Made lasted five seasons.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
And they used some mad artist for the cover.
Yeah, and she's credited in 46 episodes of We Got It Made. Well, I would say
she's the maid.
Yeah.
Well, she's got it made. She's the maid, and
she's the maid.
Were there episodes
of
We Got It Made that did not feature the maid?
I don't know.
I didn't watch all of them. Some of them might have been half seasons.
I never saw any of these. I never saw one. This is actually good proof of a thing. When we were all watching Knight Rider, Brian was watching We Got It Made.
I was watching We Got It Made. Yeah. You know what? It's 100% true. Yeah. I'm just realizing I'm looking at... So John Hillner or Tom Villard, it looks like halfway through they changed one of the bachelors. It wasn't Matt McCoy anymore.
Oh, like really?
They darrened him.
Oh, wow. I love a good darrening.
They Becky'd him.
Right.
Jerking the wheel back to New Year's Evil, I just want to point out, they could have changed a lot of the actors halfway through this film, and I would have never noticed. Seriously, every single one of the detective or investigator police types, no idea. They all looked so generic, ridiculously generic. I don't understand where you find these central casting guys, because there's so many of them in this movie. They just keep coming and going.
Oh, this girl was sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just realized as I was searching around for her career, like, okay, what'd she do after? Where's she now? She did a lot of Playboy business. She was a thing for a while I guess.
This all felt right on the border of TV and adult entertainment.
That's
what it felt like to me.
This movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should probably talk about that some. It's a weird, it feels like an edit of an old Skinemax plot.
Where they took out all the softcore?
Yeah, it took out everything because it's all set up it's hard to explain because it's like, clearly they were just trying to make a movie about a psycho killer and, you know, that's all this is. And they were trying to, you know, be like the other slashers of the time and that sort of thing. But every scenario, every scene feels like it's a setup for bad porn. You know, like, oh, here's guy walking in with a mask and a knife and you think he's going to kill her, but it's her husband. Cue the bam, bam, bam music, you know, like they don't do any of that.
The whole, Yeah, I mean, dude, the whole nurse scene, like, oh, well, I brought a couple cups and some champagne. It's a good year.
I love it.
This is what was happening between this movie wanted to, it couldn't figure out if it wanted to be a slasher or a thriller, but it, so it's taken a little bit from all of those things. And one of the things that people boiled down some of those lower budget slasher films was, you know, just almost porn, very close to porn. So it was trying to be that slasher movie. This is what I was getting anyway. Yeah. It was also trying to be like a thriller as well.
But even the slasher part didn't come through so much, didn't you think?
Right. And like I said, it's a watered down version of what you would expect from a slasher
movie. All the actual slashing takes place off screen. You just see the results, the after.
So that's what was making me wonder, because like we had talked about the confusion between, you know, who's killer, is it the kid or not? Because he also had a switchblade, but also so did the dude. What was the punk dude who shows up in front of the cop? The cop goes, tickets, tickets, tickets.
No, and
the
guy, his was a comb.
His was a comb, exactly, sure, which, by the way, I had one of those.
Me too.
Didn't we all? And so so you can play that crap with your friends, switchblade and the comb, and laughing. I'm pretty sure if you, even if you walked up to a rent-a-cop there, I'm pretty sure you would probably get taken down. I think that would be the end of you, punk boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it was a different time 40 years ago.
So,
right? Yeah. And a cop would just stand perfectly still when a knife was drawn in his face.
Yeah, tickets. Tickets. Give me your tickets.
Let me have your tickets.
That guy rocked.
Look here, Tom Hanks. I'm not getting on the Polar Express. Get out of my face.
Yeah, he was great. And I love the, you know, again, here we have a exaggerated, ridiculous version of what youth culture is in a particular era. And, you know, these guys with their freaking... I don't even know what they were. They were half.
So
they were mostly
punks, but they were falling over on something that's almost goth, but really weren't in that.
Yeah,
state,
yeah
right. It was just
early goth, mostly punk.
It was just punks, and I couldn't help but be reminded of the Warriors.
Yeah,
I just
a little bit.
Like this movie had like
they took one person out of every gang and made them mosh on the floor together.
Yeah, exactly.
Because one of them I noticed was so out of place is a guy with like a trucker hat. And I'm like, what are you even doing in there?
Right, right.
You're in there dancing with your mustache and your trucker hat. Dumb.
And here's the best part.
Yeah.
The fact that you hear their feet shuffling on the ground means that they add the music in post. So all of it, like they basically had to mosh in silence, like slow mosh in silence.
Yep.
So that they could add the music in post. Yeah. And you'd think that they would edit out the sound of their feet shuffling on the floor.
Yeah.
Because if you're at any concert and you hear your feet shuffling on the floor, it's not loud enough.
Yeah,
exactly.
Very odd.
So it was such a weird long setup for that opening
and they kept
scene. Like,
they
why?
Just kept shooting too, right? Like so much B-roll of that place.
So
jeez,
much filler.
Yeah, and that's when I knew I was in for a treat. I saw that and went, oh, this is gonna be good. Actually, you know what, the minute I knew things were gonna be amazing is when she went and sat down to take that phone call next to the TV that was focused on the one of the singers and he starts like juking licking and jiving like a weirdo and licking the microphone, and I just went, yeah, this is going to be great. I'm in.
And that
was
even during the blues song that they were singing, like licking the microphone while you're, you know, playing The Sky Is Crying or something.
It's so weird. What a weird idea at all to do. And then everybody in this is supposed to play a stereotype character, but they don't do it very well. So I don't think her manager behaved like a manager. I don't think the cop behaved like a cop. He looked like he was trying to do a, kind of a bad Al Pacino impression or something. Everybody in every role, there's this scene where he sends the short-haired blonde lady into the store to get wine.
Yes.
While he kills the other lady with a bag.
Her IBS or whatever, her diarrhea problems.
Yeah, her nervous diarrhea. So she goes into the place, and they have this really overdramatic exchange.
Yes.
Where the guy goes, here you go, ma'am. Here's your wine. Here's your change. And she goes,
Have a happy new year.
And she nods her head all solemnly, and then why? Uh-huh. What was that? What are they doing?
I was hoping that there was some like there was going to be some sort of follow up that explained like, why he was acting like that.
That was so weird, man. And I love that. Oh my gosh! Anytime you leave me hanging like that and make me question your motives, knowing right. that it's just shitty and that you screwed up and you probably had other stuff going on in that store and you decided not to show it or you cut it and all you kept was the exchange of the money and the goodbye. Like, that's amazing. Oh my gosh, you guys, I love
that.
Love
that gave me
this
the next scene that I loved because it actually surprised me. I did not think this movie was going to surprise me because it kept tossing those softballs. It's like, here's a softball. Here's another one.
Yeah.
But then she's like, she comes out of the store, the liquor store, heads on down. It's like, oh no, my friend's been taken. And you're like thinking, oh, she got dumped in the trash. No big deal. The guy ran off. No big deal. And then she opens the trash can. There he is. Rah! And I was like, whoa, that actually kind of surprised me. And I was,
well, and this all comes after a slow walk along the side of the liquor store, carrying the bag with the booze in it. And the most expensive effing bottle of champagne you can buy. Right. And she picks up each shoe and she stares at it like at some point she's going to see her friend's foot and the rest of her body sticking out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the shoe.
Exactly.
Like there's some sort of clue.
Yeah.
And then she, you know, wrestles with the decision of, well, do I put the champagne bottle down and open the side of the trash can, or do I try and do it one handed, or
I'm just going to pull this thread into the trash can because my friend's going to.
Right.
That was so dumb. And he's supposed to look menacing because he's got his lighter, but he's also still wearing that mustache that never looked cool.
Yes. That was the best part of the whole movie. Hey, have you ever seen a mustache look so good you're convinced it's fake?
I mean,
because that's what I was thinking when I was watching that. I was like, that is obviously a fake mustache. But I have seen some mustaches that were so full and so perfect. I'm like, that's got to be fake.
It was such a useless thing to do because he wasn't going to a place where people were going to recognize him anyway. No, and it wasn't enough of a disguise that if they were going to recognize him, they wouldn't with that mustache. But it was like, oh, I have a mustache and some spirit gum. I'm going to put on a mustache and go into a singles bar.
Also, in 1980, like one of the conceits of the film is that this guy's killing streak starts and ends on New Year's Eve. And there's no internet. There's no smartphones. No one would know that there's a killer running around. No one. Like, that's why, like, some of the best parts of the film are the basic slasher tropes. Like, where he's got a victim in the car and she gets out and runs across a park and he crashes through some party goers on the side of the street.
Yeah.
It's great. Mm-hmm. These two guys wearing New Year's Eve hats, you know, like they have no idea what they're experiencing. They're just like, those are really the best parts of the movie, guys. Yeah. Are those ridiculous tropes.
I agree. And those guys, I just put a gif of those guys in our chat. The way the guy in the rear is walking, he thinks he's doing drunk walk, but it looks like he's got a bad ACL torn ligament or something.
A weird limp.
Yeah. It's not right.
I think it was Nicolas Cage, an interview with Nicolas Cage where he said after doing Leaving Las Vegas, he figured out that the secret to doing a good drunk performance is that when you're drunk, you're trying not to look drunk. So you kind of have to play it like you're not drunk.
Right.
When you're performing drunk. And these guys are totally doing the Dudley Moore Arthur.
I mean, have you ever seen a drunk performance where you were so convinced and impressed at how, like, I always look at it and go, geez, all right.
Well, I mean, sit Otis down. from back in Mayberry.
That is Andy Griffin's show.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was always drunk. That wasn't acting, my friend. That was.
I guess we could go back to Victor Borga as well. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and there were just actors who got drunk to perform as a drunk, right?
Yeah.
Surely.
I assume so.
Surely. I don't know.
I assume you that think? Jerry, who
it seems
who
like
was,
that would be too method, too unprofessionally method.
It seems like what's his name? Dean Martin was always drunk, so that's just what you got.
Yeah.
You know,
he was just always sweating.
But that was, you know, you can be drunk at a celebrity roast for Don Rickles. That's fine.
Right. Sure. But I'll bet the movies he would do with, like, you know, him and Jerry Lewis
or
something.
Was that him?
I think he's just wandering around going, and then cut. And then you go get another glass. And, you know, I think that dude was always just drinking. So it's entirely possible that those are the best drunk performances and they're not played as drunks. But anytime anybody does an overt drunk performance, I just don't buy it. Like, I'm trying to think of one where it works for me. And I'm trying to think of anyone, and I can't.
So according to grunge.com, and I don't know if we can really believe this, Denise Richards and Neve Campbell were drunk in their scene in Wild Things.
In the tub?
I was.
Margot Robbie was drunk during Wolf of Wall Street. Jennifer Lawrence was drunk during Passengers, which we all should have been drunk during Passengers.
Wait, she was drunk during Passengers? The scene where she was meant to be drunk? Like,
I don't know if
in the bar.
I don't know if it was right. I don't know if she was really like if she was just drunk during the whole filming. Or is this? Oh, maybe this is wrong. No, it says actors who are drunk during filming is the article, not actors who did a good job acting drunk during.
Okay,
filming.
Interesting. I would have never thought that.
The head scratcher in this list is Daniel Radcliffe in the Harry Potter movies.
No. That's true.
That was Butterbeer. What was it again?
Maybe by the sixth one or seventh one.
That's
when
actually
he's old
what
enough.
He was saying. Yes. With filming his sixth Harry Potter movie, he found himself lost in the drink, telling GQ, "I became so reliant on alcohol to enjoy stuff. There were a few years when I was just enamored with the idea of living some sort of famous person's lifestyle that really isn't suited to me."
I don't apparently, that makes me sad to hear that. I don't like
it. It does. Yeah, no kidding.
I just want to go back to Margot Robbie and Wolf of Wall Street, because if it wasn't freaking Leo DiCaprio stoned and drugged out of his mind in reality filming the scene where he gets so high, then I don't ever want to see that movie again. The scene where he gets ridiculously high is so freaking funny.
Is that the one where he snorts coke from a bum hole? Is that the one?
There's a lot of drug use in the movie, but
there's a scene where he snorts a bum hole full of coke and it goes right up into his nose with a straw or something. I think I have that right. that movie scarred me, so I can only talk about it in these halted ways.
If it was something you saw, I can see that there was absolutely no way it was going to be anything else that you'd remember the most from that film.
It is my number one memory of that movie is him snorting coke out of a butt. He did it.
What grossed got out the most from Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, I'm going to find an image so I can put myself
to
rest.
Please do, yes.
Snort, coke, bum, DiCaprio.
Oh, they say Martin Short was drunk during Apocalypse Now.
Oh, Martin Short.
Not Martin Short. Martin Sheen.
It was racking my brain to think.
Oh, that's too good. Oh, yeah, this is real. Okay.
I'm gonna go to the mountains and find this guy, you know?
Yeah. Here's the image. I apologize in advance. That happened in that movie right there.
Yeah.
Yep. A little straw on the hooter. Just a little bit of... A little cocaine up the rear end.
Well,
I think
the Hooters are a different part of the body.
Oh, so. All right. Well, I always call it a Hooter.
What you sent us looks like it's been made into a canvas print.
Yeah.
It's from a website called Dangerous Minds. Oh, it even says this. Leo DiCaprio snorting coke wall art is the feel-good Christmas gift of the season. So apparently you can buy this in a...
You can buy that as wall art.
Yeah,
right.
It's wall art. That's fantastic. Wonderful deal. That movie scarred me. Did not like that.
Going
movie.
Back to the list of actors who were actually drunk while filming, there's a bunch of Film Sack movies in here. The one that really sticks out to me is John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins in Super Mario Brothers. they were both drunk the whole time.
Were they?
Yeah.
And, I love that.
And if you could, you would. You know, it's like we're making a dumb Super Mario Brothers movie. The craft table is loaded with bottles of Jack Daniels and Jose Cuervo. We're not working for an Oscar here.
No. So just go all the way, right?
Just go all the way.
Yeah.
Exactly. Whatever it takes to get you through.
Yeah. Whatever. You're getting paid for this, but in the end, it's a miserable experience. Numb your feelings. Go home happy. That's how I look at it.
Right.
What else can we say about this movie? Emmett Alston, who directed it, really made nothing but trash. And he writes a lot of stuff, but he's just not known for anything good. So I wouldn't bother too hard trying to find more of his works, is a good way to put it. He wrote some threesome movie that's basically borderline porn. So, his tendencies were fully realized, I guess, in that. But yeah, he's a dude with credits. Let's put it that way. TCM. Oh, this is great. The TCM Network. I don't know what
that's Turner Classic Movies.
They once paired an airing of New Year's Evil with the film Christmas Evil that we just saw.
Wow, really?
As their holiday-themed slasher movie double feature.
Turner Classic Movies. The fact that they would show either of those films surprises me.
Yeah, no doubt. And that would have been that's kind of a hoot because we just did the same thing. So well done, Film Sack. We've mirrored Turner classic movies. I don't even know if I've ever seen TCM. That's the truth. I don't think that's a channel I've had on.
I think I've seen just parodies of the hoity-toityness of the narrators who come on before they actually show the film and say, it was reviewed that Humphrey Bogart actually did not like Lauren Bacall through the entire filming of this feature. Now for your enjoyment, Casablanca.
Oh, wow.
And see, every time, I never saw that. I never saw any sort of like introduction or anything. I would just be flipping along and passing TCM, I would see John Wayne on a horse and I would just stop. And I don't care. Like, it's one of 71 movies where he has a scene sitting on a horse, sort of hunched forward talking.
Yeah.
And like, I would stop.
Yeah. You
watch for 15 minutes.
You can't help it. You can't help it. I totally get it. I'm with you. If John Wayne's on a horse and it's, even if he's just there, even if the film's broken and it's locked on that scene and he's just not moving, I'm still going to watch it for 10 minutes.
I told you one of my favorite, things related to John Wayne was flying in that first year to BlizzCon, the first year that Tristan and I came to BlizzCon together. And when you come to BlizzCon, you usually fly into John Wayne International Airport in Orange County. And as we're getting off the plane and on the jetway, there's a little sign that says, "Welcome to John Wayne International Airport." And I say, Tristan, who was, I think, 11 or 12 at the time, I said, "Do you know who John Wayne was?" And he says, "Wasn't he a pilgrim?"
Awesome.
I love that. He's always heard that name associated with the word pilgrim. And,
yeah, what are you doing there, pilgrim?
I need to convince my kid that, so one day my kid will, I'll ask him, who was Val Kilmer? And he'll say, wasn't he a Huckleberry?
Yeah, right? No, that's the thing. Is a meme going around where you say, where people say, I'll tell my kids this was Baby Yoda, but it'll be a picture of like, you know, Danny DeVito or something. Like that's a thing now people are doing all over Twitter. So maybe, you know, we can have a few of those in our future for your boy. But yeah, that's hilarious. That's my favorite story about Tristan suddenly. I love that.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah. I also like, you know what else is weird? By the way, just real quick, an airport note about John Wayne International, which is the one we take also whenever I go to Anaheim, and that is there's a big statue of the Duke, right, standing there somewhere in the as you leave baggage area. There's a big statue of John Wayne, and I got up close to him last time I was there and just kind of checking him out while Kim was getting the rental car, and I noticed that it's a bronze, I guess, or I assume it's bronze, kind of rough and matte finish all over John Wayne, except for, and I'm not kidding, his crotch is the shiniest crotch because everybody touches his penis.
Really? Like they go by, they've eroded, they've worn down the brass, the copper on his statue.
Yeah, now it's this shiny thing that's just stands out like crazy. They need to go put a finish on it or something.
You rub it for luck before you get on the plane. I understand.
He calls it the little pilgrim. You need to rub it before you get on that plane. Anyway, sorry, side note. Who, Randy, you were going to say something?
Okay. I was just going to do another 2019 question, and that is, you know, what was the best new TV show of 2019? So this is a show that had its first episode in 2019, and it needs to be a TV show. Like, so you can't say Chernobyl because there's not going to be, like, seasons of that.
Right.
So, okay.
So it has to be a continual
thing. Well, we don't know if there are going to be more seasons of Watchmen, but...
There surely will. Surely.
I don't know.
They're all real. They're being real.
May not be Lindelof involved.
Are you looking for the thing that touches us, or are you looking for the thing that should be critically...
I think the thing that gets us. Man. Let's say what gets us, because for me, it's going to surprise people. There was a lot of really great TV this year, and it's easy to say Mandalorian. It's easy to say all sorts of stuff. I have lots of shows I really like this year. However, it doesn't count though, because I don't think they're doing a season two. Shoot. Okay.
I was going to say
Unbelievable, because Unbelievable, I found to be one of the most mind altering TV shows I'd seen ever, and I highly recommend it. It was really, really good.
Here's something that's pretty throwaway. If you know me, I like to watch a lot of TV, have for years, and the show that really I get excited about new episodes is Bless This Mess.
Well, that's a 2018 show.
I don't know what that is.
Did it start in 2018?
Yeah. I don't know what that is. What is Bless That Mess? What is that?
I don't know that at all.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Kristen Bell's husband.
Yeah. Dax Shepard show. Okay, got it. Never mind.
Then I guess I'll have to go with the other one that I like then, but I always can never remember the name of it, but it's not. I always think it's Pitch Perfect, but it's not. It's the TV show equivalent of...
singing people? They singing?
Pitch perfect. Not Pitch Perfect. It's
Perfect Harmony.
Perfect Harmony.
Perfect Harmony.
Yeah, oh, I don't know what
that
is.
That's been hilarious every time.
That's got that woman in it who always plays an aggressive biatch.
It's Anna Camp and Bradley Whitford. Yeah, Bradley Whitford.
Oh, I love Bradley Whitford. He's in charge of the church thing and what? Whitford can do no wrong for me. I love that guy. I finally watched Get Out. I freaking love him. I love him.
Love it.
He's so good.
Anna Camp has Chevy Chase's chin, by the way. Like if you only look at the bottom half of their faces, they're almost indistinguishable.
All right. I literally just will say Mandalorian, and I realize that you could look at it and call it pulpy or, you know, basically a Western every week and that sort of thing. And it absolutely is, but it's the thing that brought Star Wars back to me in a way that I as an adult had kind of shoved to the side and said, you know, I'm always going to enjoy these things, but I'm never going to feel like that 7-year-old again. I'm never going to feel like that first time I saw A New Hope when I was 7. It's just not going to happen. And guess what? It totally happened with The Mandalorian. So I have to give that like big fat credit.
The most recent or the final episode of the season, again, no spoilers, has one of the best few minutes of interaction and dialogue between a couple of stormtroopers that if they were to insert that into any Star Wars movie, it would elevate that Star Wars movie to A+ quality.
Yeah. I mean, I keep hearing this about this conversation, so it must be good because you're not the first
It's like if Tarantino got his hands on a little bit of Mandalorian script.
Oh man, don't even get me excited.
What amazes me about 2019 is that it came on so strong at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I guess this is kind of has to do with when the Emmys are, right? The Emmys sort of end the year and then you release a bunch of new stuff immediately afterward. Mm-hmm. But Mandalorian, His Dark Materials, Watchmen, The Witcher, these things are all like starting in like November. It's amazing how it all happens at the end of the year. The show that started in 2019 that I just cannot help but raise, I think it was the best new show of 2019, was What We Do in the Shadows. Guys, you've got to watch this.
Oh, movie. Yeah, it's so good.
It is so funny.
So good. Yeah, yeah. I should mention that, too.
Was Russian Doll, that was 2019. That started in 2019, right? I really enjoyed that, and I'm hoping that there is going to be a season two of that. Because really, talk about taking something that you think you've seen a million times before and then changing it just enough to where that it still surprises you. I really enjoyed that.
I love the new Mindhunter season, but that's again a show that started in 2018.
Well, and I want to point out, Brian Ibbett, that some other group did a similar thing, which is the Paul Rudd show, Living with Yourself.
Oh, right.
Right?
Yeah.
You've seen it a million times. And you know what? It wasn't. No, I disagree. It's not that good.
Oh, I enjoy it.
Where Russian Doll finds all of these little things for you to, you know, sort of like key on and think about and take away, Living with Yourself doesn't at all. It's completely
forgettable. This is always the problem. This is kind of where I always have trouble with. Okay, so are you talking from a academic standpoint? Because you can say, no, that was not good because based on things up to now, this is how it is. But to me, it was good because it satisfied some things into me and I liked it and I enjoyed it. Good to me. So,
and they had a nice little quirky gimmick of dovetailing one episode into another that once you start watching it and realizing it's like, all right, that's really a clever way to do that. Mm-hmm.
Which show are you talking about, Ibbett?
Living with Yourself. Living the dovetailing yourself. That they did between... Yeah.
But it's not good. Really Randy says not good for him.
It was totally forgettable. I watched all of Living with Yourself, and there was nothing like any part of Russian Doll. Like, there were so many things in Russian Doll where I'm like, man, you know, someone between a set designer and a cinematographer, some people put some thought into that bathroom she keeps waking up in. Like, they really thought about that set, and I haven't forgotten. I can tell you all about it right now. I haven't seen it in 8 months. and you know what I'm saying? Whereas living with yourself, it was cute. I don't remember.
Yeah. Right.
Fleabag, I'm really surprised. I mean, I discovered it in 2019, but it's apparently, I was surprised to find out it's been around since 2016.
Yeah. Fleabag's amazing. I love it.
It's so good. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge just gives these looks to the camera that actually, that alone makes me bust out laughing.
And I normally hate camera wink fourth wall.
Like
I usually
fourth wall
hate
breaking,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like it every time Jim Halpert looks at a camera. And I know The Office can get away with it because The Office is kind of pseudo mockumentary, right? But but there's something about her looks at cameras that are, I don't care what's being talked about, everything's funnier after she looks at the camera. And that's a hard thing to pull off. I don't know how she does it. And I will only throw one more into the ring. This is not new this year by any stretch. They're in like their fifth season or something. But one of the most consistently funny, heartfelt, well-made, thoroughly well-thought-out cast is Schitt's Creek. If you haven't seen Schitt's Creek,
so good.
You got to watch Schitt's Creek. That is a family favorite here. We freaking love that show. It's so consistently funny and good. And they're only, I guess they have one more season and that's it. They're out after that. Anyway, that was a fun little end of year thing. Thanks, Randy. Yeah. That was fun. I enjoyed that. Now back to New Year's Evil. All right. So I did have one gross moment. Can anyone tell me what they think
it was? I wrote down two.
Okay.
There was one scene where one of the punker singers looks right at the camera and sings and opens his mouth wide and has a spit trail from his upper teeth to his lower teeth that they decided not to reshoot.
Yeah. I would like to give Brian the, hold on. I'd like to give you this. That is correct. That is the thing that grossed me out of the most in this
movie. I tell you what my second and my backup was?
Yes.
The opening scene where they're driving down Hollywood Boulevard and punkers are just randomly sticking their fingers into each other's mouths for no reason
like that
whatsoever.
That was a runner up. I hated that. That whole thing was just so random.
What kind of play fighting is this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was so
bad. Do you remember being a teenager and play fighting? You know, like, you're roughhousing. Like, you throw your arm around your buddy's neck and sort of pull him around. Like,
but sitting there putting your hands in each other's mouths? No one did that, ever. I know. You're all getting the hand-foot-mouth disease or whatever they call it.
That's right, because I'm sure punkers don't wash their hands regularly.
I also
There's not a Purell in that convertible.
I also really just disliked the guy just grinding on her boobs in the car. I just didn't like that. So.
Oh, she's just munching on popcorn.
And smoking weed. He was just like cranking
during
on
the
her.
Second feature.
Yeah, thinking to myself, dude, you're going to rip a nipple off. Like, calm down.
What are you trying to tune those things in?
Yeah, Tune in Tokyo. What was that from? Tune in Tokyo. There was some movie where there was a joke where somebody would twist somebody's boobs and yell Tune in Tokyo.
Right, Tune in Tokyo. Sounds like a Jim Carrey thing, but I don't think he's ever done anything like that.
No, it's like older than that, and I don't remember what it is. All right, someone in the listening audience will surely correct us. All right, so well done on the gross thing. That was absolutely true. I have a ton of clips here that I would like to play. This movie was full of amazing, terrible dialogue, and so I'm just going to hammer through these. Let's start with this first death. It's the first scream and stab of the movie.
With an echo, too. Black woman dies first.
Yep. Oh, geez, I didn't think of that. Yep, she did. Poor lady.
Yeah, and I still, like, I will never forget her reaching into the tub to try to get the water to stop dribbling. Like, you don't realize it until you find out that he's in there, but maybe he was turning it back on and she didn't know. Yeah. Like, he's playing a long prank with her in the bathroom.
Also, I don't know how he got in there, because did he slip in while she was checking the hall?
No, he couldn't have. He had to be in there the whole time, because that's what I thought too, but I went back and watched the scene, and unless he was like some kind of apparition, he could not have passed by her, because she opened the door, stood in the doorway, then closed the door, then walked straight back to the bathroom. But we were to believe that's what he might have done.
Okay, so he's just patiently hanging out in there until he had his moment.
Right, that's why I realized, like, man, he was in there for a really long time.
Okay. No, that's kind of what I came to, but I wasn't sure if I was right about that. It annoyed me, though.
Tune in Tokyo is from Girls Just Want to Have Fun, the movie with Sarah Jessica Parker and I want to say Julia Roberts before she got big.
Before she blew up, as they say.
Before she blew up, yes.
Yeah, on the scene. That's funny because I don't even like that movie. I don't know why I remember that tune in Tokyo. It's because I remember the dumbest thing, snorting coke out of
Bateman,
a bum.
I think was the, yeah.
Oh, was it Justine Bateman? Okay.
I think Justine Bateman, yeah.
All right.
Which would be the reason why you watched it. Sure. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I had the hugest crush on her. It was ridiculous. Here is, this is the ticket guy. I honestly believe that Dunaway's entire intro was going to be nothing but riffs on this guy. I really
That was my first inclination. I said, but it's not really relevant to the rest of the movie. And I'm like,
And it was so brief, but man, this guy's weird. All right, so I'm going to play it. Here it is.
Tickets. Tickets. Save your tickets. Tickets. Let's save your tickets.
Just tickets. Save your tickets.
Tickets. Let's have your tickets.
And they had to loop that audio. I don't know why whoever edited it. I felt like they needed to loop the audio, but they looped the audio. Totally the same thing.
So dumb. Yeah.
No human can repeat themselves in that manner.
That accurately. Like that. Right.
Yeah. Love this dumb movie. All right. Here's I wrote. It's a really good part. I don't remember. I wrote.
It's really a good part.
Oh, it's Derek talking about his hot new job on the American spaceship or whatever the hell it's called.
Right.
Yeah.
I wanted to know more about that and about that character, but it was so badly acted.
Yeah.
How do you have this seed of such an interesting little thing and then act it out so badly that I'm mad at you? I don't get that.
It was so poorly done. He is an atrocious actor.
Yes.
How he went on to have a job, I don't know. But I love it for it. All right. So he's great. Also, coincidentally, the guy in the car cranking on what's her name's boob, someone asked him, why are you cranking so hard? And he said,
it's really a good part.
All right. That's good. I wrote, this is so bad.
All right, babies. It's time to slam down and get even. It's time to spin out and boil your hair, you know? I want you to brace yourself for a night of high, solid energy. Now, tonight, we are in stereo simulcast on the Rock, K-Rock, FM. Now, this is your last chance to be bad before you make those New Year's resolutions.
It's so bad.
I did this whole thing without a script. It's time to slam down and punch up. Or, Olivia, it's time to get busy and act like you're working hard.
Yep.
And
she just had all the great catchphrases of the 1980s youth culture. Right. She just knew how to do it. All right, here's that call.
This is Clara. My vote for the best song is We Don't Need No Education.
Okay, that's a hoot. Well done.
We do not need no education.
It feels like someone slipped that into the script to see if anyone was paying attention.
Yeah.
And no one was paying attention.
Nobody paid attention. Well, we did, but nobody else did. All right, here's the evil guy's voice, the first time he uses it. I loved his overuse of this thing. It was great. Here it is.
Happy New Year to you, Blaze. You could call me that. Call me evil. Just evil.
I cut out some of her stuff, as you can tell. But.
Hey, Bert, is that you, Bert? Sounds like you, Bert.
It does sound like Bert trying to change his voice. Holy shit.
Ernie, who ate the cookies from this plate?
But it sounds like the old uncle from Christmas Vacation. I mean, exactly like the guy.
The blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uncle Leah or Uncle Lewis.
William Hickey.
Yeah. Uncle Lewis. He's the best. All right. Here's Evil's voice again.
I'm going to commit murder.
Why didn't he just say, I'm going to commit murder, but the thing would just change his... Why did he have to go, I'm going... Like, why did he have to do all that with such gusto?
I don't know, because I'm wondering about that whole voice changer thing, because it seemed like his mouth was... At times, his mouth was closer to the mouthpiece of the phone than it was to his voice changer.
Yeah.
And you'd actually put the voice changer up to the phone and not... And not have it up by your mouth.
Yeah, and that thing was like in his mouth, like up
that
in there.
Was in his mouth. Like it was like a the thing that Peter Frampton used to do the wah 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 wah. That that's what that thing is, and it's at least the one you put in your mouth like that.
You do that, and I immediately knew what you were talking about. That wah 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 wah. Even if you don't know who Peter Frampton is, immediately.
You know exactly.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, vocoder or whatever it is. But yeah, I think it's supposed to be in your mouth, and then the speaker of the voice changer is supposed to be up to the phone.
Wow. Well,
they got the job done.
Yeah. It did what it had to do. Commit murder. All right, here's what's this? Oh, he comes well equipped.
Hey, brought your own music, huh?
Yeah, I always come well equipped.
I bet you do.
I know.
That is porn dialogue, basically.
Yeah. I bet you do. She scared me. I didn't like her at all.
She did some weird mouth movements, mm-hmm. like weird mouth movements with her when she was talking, like a frowny. Yeah, it was bizarre.
And then her and serial killer Bruce Jenner really making out there for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What? This is evil. Oh, more evil. Here we go.
This is evil.
Yeah, hi. Hiya.
This is evil.
It's like, you didn't take me serious.
Oh, please hold.
How dare you put me on hold? I'm evil. All right. Here's, let's see. I wrote, listen to the reply.
Listen to the replay.
Oh, replay. Why did I say reply? Replay. Listen to the replay.
And then he starts the countdown from 8.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, who does that?
Yeah. This one's titled, So That's What That Means.
Now, when this guy says murder at midnight, he means midnight in each of the time zones all across the country.
Whoa, you've cracked the case there, Professor.
Columbo.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, and it's funny because really the only person who knows he's actually doing it midnight is the killer himself. So, like, recording it, doing the replay is the only way that he can prove that, no, it was exactly at midnight. I'm really good at this because I was able to time it so that I killed her exactly at midnight.
Right.
By the way.
Worst affectation for a serial killer ever. Yeah,
it's bad. Just
somewhere in the hour is fine.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's funny. Yeah, you're right. Bad.
Yeah.
I just want to say New Year's Eve is really awesome living on the West Coast because you get to celebrate with everybody else when it happens in New York City. Mm. And you get to do that at a reasonable hour.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, if everybody really cared about New Year's Eve in Hawaii, that would kind of suck. Like,
we'd terrible. All have
to, like, stay up all night.
Yeah. Nobody wants that. I'm glad New York's the place that we decided to have that time zone thing. That's good.
Denver, all we do is just ski down mountains carrying torches.
Yeah, what's going on with the Aspen people, man? There is
apparently that is actually a thing that they do in Aspen, but it just the funny, like, all right, we need a central where we need a mountain time zone representation. Denver, what's Denver known for? I mean, is he gonna kill somebody around Denver time? And
we know snow hippies,
snow hippies carrying candles.
Perfect.
All right. There are like some big cities in the mountain time zone,
They could have done Denver, they could have done actual Denver. I'm thinking.
They easily could have done Denver.
Yeah, they'd have to do some ski resort in Denver. They could have done Denver.
Gone to Albuquerque? Albuquerque would have been. They have a celebration
in
that city.
I'm going to kill someone in Albuquerque.
Exactly.
They'll never see me coming.
All right. Here's a thing that brought up earlier, and I just like to think that during this era, this might have actually been a thing you could do on a Saturday night. Here you go.
There's a big party up at Eric Estrada's place.
I just so want that to be true. Like, during the height of Eric Estrada's career, you could go have a party at his house.
There's a whole generation of people seeing this film right now for the first time that have no idea what an Eric Estrada is.
Probably a bunch of listeners don't.
Conley, we were talking about earlier, wasn't it Conley?
Who?
Terry Copley?
Copley, that's what it's about. Sorry, yeah. Copley. She was actually in Chips too, right? She played like.
Oh, was she in Chips? She might have been in Chips, yeah. Chips was.
By the way, at Eric Estrada's house, guess what the dining table is just covered with?
Hold on, I can't let this go. What is it covered with?
Chips.
There you go.
Shit. Gosh,
come
dang
on,
it.
Scott.
Yeah, I know. That's bad. I was up too late last night. That's my excuse. That should have been easy. Nice one. All right. Remember this big hit from the era?
I'm getting hot over dumb blunts.
Remember Dumb Blondes? Oh, what Dumb a Blondes. Hot hit that yeah. was for the era. Man, just really
I'd
defined
like to say
the decade.
You couldn't do a song like that today, but you really couldn't do it back in 1979 or 80
right?
either.
Yeah, this is all true. All right, here's my favorite cure ever.
I stopped biting my nails. Lisa got rid of her nervous diarrhea.
Fantastic. Well done.
Wow, thank you for telling us.
She's great. Boy, she was really playing the ditzy blonde. Here she is saying a word no one's ever used.
Doodly-D-squat.
Doodly-D-squat. Doodly-D.
That's actually how Jane got nervous diarrhea.
Was it her trigger word? Doodly-D-squat. Yeah, doodly-D-squat. Oh, shit, I gotta go. Yeah. Here's, what? Bigot? I don't know what this is. I'll just play it.
Here's what I want you to do. You go in and go to the gym. And while you're in there, you buy the biggest goddamn bottle of champagne they got.
All right. The John. We should bring that up here briefly. That guy referred to a toilet no less than four times and in every case called it the John. Now, growing up, no one I knew called it the John except my dad. He called it the John. You guys need to go to the John before we go? He'd say that. And so when I hear
what are you going to do in there? Diddly-do-squat.
Diddly-do-squat. And diddly-do, maybe a little squat. I don't know. Anyway, I hate the term John for a toilet. Just bugs me.
Yeah.
Why?
Wait, I don't
what?
Know. It's old. It's old and dumb. No one should say
John
it.
John is what you call patrons of a prostitute.
Yeah. We're a guy named John, not a
we're
toilet.
We're a guy named John.
Yeah. You know, like long Johns, that's fine. Other John usage is okay, but saying, I got to hit the John. Shut up. Just say, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to use the toilet. I got to take a dump. I got to use the John. Like, what's that like in the South these days, Dunaway? People walking around going, hey, what's going on with the John? It's plugged.
No, I've never heard anybody say the John around here. They always say either I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I don't ever hear anybody say, bathroom is pretty much it.
Yeah.
The turlet.
The turlet.
My dad also said turlet.
Yeah, I get it. I got to hit the head. You'll occasionally hear that. But that's pretty much it.
The toity.
I like the need to see a man about a horse. I've always enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. I like him obscure or straight on, like, I need the shitter. I like that. All right, here's a death noise from somebody who died. Okay, so enjoy. That's not the sound you make when you're suffocating.
Someone doing a diddly-dee-squat.
Yeah.
Doodly-dee-squat.
All right, great.
Oh, okay.
Doodly-dee-squat.
Yeah, doodly-dee-squat. Right, yes. Keep that straight. All right, here's... Oh, I like this particular greetings, a-hole. Here you go.
Greetings, asshole.
He just didn't seem very tough as a biker guy. Just a
greetings, asshole. Greetings, asshole.
Greetings.
Yeah. You know, like biker gangs,
you know,
do.
That typical biker hello. Greetings.
All right. Here's something about keys.
Where are the f***ing keys? In the ignition.
That was yeah. The key is in the ignition, man.
And he gets yanked out of there. He's been making freaking
right there in the ignition. Oh, I'm sorry.
Making the boob squeezings. He got interrupted. He like that.
Boob squeezings.
He was in there really.
What you got on there? You got some boob squeezings out
boob
there?
Squeezings.
Some... Giving her like a painful mammogram in that car. All right, here's there's one for Ibbot. I wrote that, and I don't remember what it is. So, Ibbot, this is for you, whatever it is.
Now, as the new year approaches the Rockies, we're headed for Aspen.
Oh, yeah.
Here in Colorado, we have to do things just a little different. Some of us came up here to burn a candle for the new year, and that new year is only 5 minutes away by my count.
And they're all doing, like, kumbaya on the guitars
and what's
stuff.
That accent? We don't talk like that. We say things a little differently.
His accent changed for the last line.
It did, yes.
It was one accent, and then suddenly he thought he was in Aspen, Georgia.
Yeah.
That's right, exactly.
I read something in the trivia that said he did a lot of those phone voices, or, you know.
The director did?
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, he liked to stick himself in those things.
Scott, I'm worried that you didn't get the title drop.
Did I miss it? When did it get said? Did someone say New Year's Evil? Was it late at the beginning?
At the beginning of the stage show,
New Year's
she comes
Evil.
Out. And yeah, she says the name of their celebration is New Year's Evil.
Oh, I thought I thought she did that in her.
No, she didn't, Randy. How did she say it?
Hold on. Let me play it again. Hold on.
All right, babies, it's time to slam down and get even. It's time to spin up and boil your hair, you know? I want you to brace yourself for a night of high, solid energy. Now, tonight, we are in stereo simulcast on the Rock, K-Rock.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I just cut it short. I didn't get it.
Yeah, because she said, hey, we didn't call
our
thing.
Where she goes, no? Yeah. Like, she says something like, I had time to drop your hair and borrow your cheese. No?
No. Borrow your cheese. I love that. I want to borrow some cheese. Don't return borrowed cheese. That's the rule. All right, Mr. is what this is called. It's not the song by the by Mr. No, wait. Mr. was the band, right, Brian?
Right.
Mr. is the band. Okay. It has Kiri and Broken Wings.
That one? Is that the one?
That's the one.
Yep. All right. Well, anyway, here, this has nothing to do with that. Here, I'm going to play it now. Here you go.
Listen, mister. If it's money you want, I don't have any.
She says, listen, mister.
Oh, I thought she said, mister.
Yeah. Let's hear it again.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Listen, mister.
You're right.
But you're listening, though, for Mr. You do hear it.
Yeah.
Listen, mister. Twisted Sister.
Twisted Sister. Yeah, it's Bean. What's the thing you hear? You think you're hearing something else? What is the thing? Bean counter. No.
Oh, Amanda Green.
Yeah, no, but what's the one that was famous this year or last year where people thought they were seeing green...
Yeah, we heard two things at once. Yeah, everybody was doing that.
Green needle and
brainstorm.
Brainstorm, yeah.
Or Yanni and Lauren.
Lauren or Yanni, yeah.
Laurel.
Laurel.
That's right. Laurel. That's right. Laurel.
Yanni or Yanni? Yanni's the performer. He's the new age guy. Yes. Okay. All right. Here's this. What is this? I don't know what this is. So here.
This thing on? Your attention, please.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, yeah, that guy, Trina.
I'm going to believe that that's the director making all those heckling voices during that whole thing.
Yep. And during that, somebody made this sound, and I still can't decipher it. I don't know what she said, so we're going to have some fun here. Here you go. Check this out. Yuppie! What's that?
Right. I don't know, but I heard that too.
UV. UV. It's like UV protection.
UV. Keep the sun out.
I don't. I don't know what it is. UV. It's all right. Someone at home will know. Maybe. All right. Here's the breast mutilation talk. That's always fun.
He's mutilated the breasts of most of his women. That's a common characteristic of a psychopathic killer.
Wouldn't you say most of his female victims, not most of his women?
Most of his women. Well, you know, he's got a bad dating profile on Tinder.
I guess so.
He's mutilated the breasts of most of his women.
That's just a weird way to say that. Breast. That's a weird way of saying it. And also, I didn't see... That wasn't true, though, across the board.
No, there were some cuts at the tops of the slide. The woman who comes down the slide,
right.
Perfectly timed. I don't know how the killer did that, but it was well done.
Yeah,
like
nice
making
job.
Sure that she slid down the slide just when they brought their one flashlight to the base of the slide without looking anywhere else.
He's a magical bastard, that guy. All right, this is favorite. I'm going to start yelling this when I see a cop. Here's this.
Hey, officer, can you give me a hand over here? I think I found a drunk.
Hey, officer, I found a drunk. Just kidding, it's a brick.
It's brick, just conveniently laying against this wall here. Don't worry about it.
Sponge brick. By the way, did the killer plant that convenient chest of props at the top of the in the hotel at the top of the stairs there?
Oh, I don't know.
With like his change of clothes and
must have
mask and
must
stuff
have.
Like that. Okay.
I mean, now that you say it, that seems like a detail I would have noticed, but you're right. Maybe he must have, right? Because how else was that stuff so specific and exactly
his
what
son left it for him?
There's a conspiracy afoot. Also, when he was okay, I got a son question because they never followed this through. When he put the mom a red stocking on his face poorly, I might add, and then wandered around the place and was like sneaking around listening to people and stuff, what was that for?
Just to show that he's got some mental issues. Again, they really wanted to be subtle about setting up the sequel.
Yeah,
right.
That was really bothersome. Did not like that. All right, here's a Derek. Oh, I just wrote Derek sucks so bad. Here it is.
I had a surprise for you, and right now I don't want any part of it.
Okay, great.
Okay, Derek.
Okay, Derek. You'll put my stocking on your head and go down and be creepy, you little shit. All right.
Yeah, Tina and I were trying to figure out, was she like 9 when she had him? But then we looked back at the actors' ages, and there were, you know, 21 years difference between the two. Yeah. It looked a lot closer. She looks a
very
lot younger.
Young,
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying. She physically, she looks way young. Face, she looks like me. Like, there's something wrong with her head.
And that's how it is for those of you, as you age, you'll discover this.
Yeah, yeah. It's a normal thing.
Your face wrinkles and looks nasty a lot faster than the rest of your body.
Well, you know why? Because it's not covered up. Speaking of UV.
Exactly.
That's
so
what
we
she
all
was trying to say.
When you see somebody all wrinkly in the face, you're thinking, oh, boy, I'd hate to see that shirt off. And
yeah.
It's like, oh, no. They like.
That's why truck drivers, like the left side of their face is all
right.
Thrashed and the right side's not because the sun's on
so
that side.
So we should be totally clothed head from toe.
That's right. Cover up. Those burka people have it right. UV. They're protecting themselves from the...
UV.
Yeah, the UV.
UV.
All right, here's it was the John.
I was in the John.
He was in the John there, see. That's the toilet. Wow. He calls the John.
I was in the John.
Uh-huh. We know, buddy. All right, here's a horrible sound of a guy getting kicked in the face, and by horrible I don't mean like brutal or well done or any of that. I mean it was terrible. He kicked a cop in the face in the elevator and it sounded stupid. Here it is. That's a terrible.
It sounds like a record skipping.
Yeah, it doesn't even. And you go, that sucked.
Like kicking a pillow.
That police officer, though, he needed a good kick in the face. He was all like, all of him, people's personal spaces. I didn't care for him.
Yeah, I didn't like him much. Plus, he was.
I was ready for him to die.
Again, his acting was atrocious. The best actor in the movie is probably our killer, right?
Absolutely.
At least he's hamming it up and like going for it. Everybody else was so dry bone, man. I don't even know what that means.
Man, I don't know. How do you decide who's the best actor in something like this?
I mean, it's a low bar, and we're comparing. You know, it's a relative comparison.
I think it's tickets guy, because I really believe that he wanted tickets.
Yeah, give me your ticket. You have your tickets. Give me your effing tickets.
Let's see your tickets.
Tickets.
Police officer.
Tickets. Tug your tickets.
Give me your tickets. All right, here's the final clip. Final clip is about testicles, of course. Here it is.
You castrated me.
And that is not nice.
Yeah, that's a great line.
It really isn't.
It's not, no. It really isn't, is it?
No, I really didn't. I really didn't. I really didn't need his. I really didn't need his motivation speech.
No,
me neither.
Didn't need it.
No. Really didn't care why he was doing what he was doing.
I didn't care.
I agree. We didn't need
it. He was entertaining me enough.
Yep. Well, here's another bit of entertainment. The final film sack checklist of 2019, right here in my hands. Bikers hate priests. Check. That's a thing.
Yeah,
priests drive fancy Mercedes Benzes. Check. Do you say Mercedes Benzes or you would probably
Mercedes,
say
just Mercedes Benz?
Is that the plural?
Yeah, I don't know. Plural Mercedes. He owned a bunch of Mercedes Benz. Yeah, I don't know. I guess you might say Benzes.
Oh, that's awful.
Is awful.
Change your name, Germany. And then finally, the police detective doing his best early career Al Pacino impression. Check. Hey, look, Star Trek connections. None. In fact, Daryl said Trek actors stayed away from this one, and for good reason. Boy, throwing in some editorial content there, Daryl. Jeez. I was a little surprised by this, actually, because I kind of thought we'd find something. But I went and double-checked. There's nothing. No Trek connections this week. However, we do have a soundtrack grade.
You hear that, Daryl?
Yeah.
Scott's checking behind you.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get a little controversy going.
A little QA going on.
A little follow-up, you know, just to make sure you're doing okay. It's his quarterly, what do you call that? Not interview.
Review.
Review. We're doing a review. Got to do an audit of your fine work. That's all. I'd give it the soundtrack an AT for awesomely terrible. It was raunchily bad, just shitty, awful everything. The music, the songs, the scoring, the Jason ripoff,
right?
Thing, all that stuff, just terrible and great, just amazing.
You don't like the song that goes, "That's a big universe out of
it." No, I don't like it. I think it's bad.
New Year's Eve.
I think it's all very bad. All right, this is now our time, your time, really, to create a Twitter post in the waning hours of 2019 for this film, New Year's Evil. Let's start with Randy in 280 characters or less.
New Year's Evil. Put on your glam makeup and then dance in a mosh pit to a punk slash new wave band that is weirdly playing R&B? This would never happen on a Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
So true.
That's a good twist on a familiar favorite.
Yeah.
Nice work. Brian Dunaway.
Oh, New Year's Evil, you say? Like a punk rocker with a switchblade comb standing toe-to-toe with the police officer. Tickets! Let's have your tickets! Oh, that is evil.
Nicely done. Finally, Brian Ibbot.
New Year's Evil. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind, let's watch a showing of New Year's Evil and leave this shit behind.
Oh, very nice. Shit behind. I like that.
Shit behind. Shit critiqued her.
Yeah. Well done. And that means one left last thing. Oh, yeah, this is it. Alternate titles just handed to me. This was almost called Booby Stabber McStabberson Goes Boob Stabbing. That was a thing.
Okay.
Or Elevator Action. We forgot about the whole elevator thing.
Elevator action.
That's good. Yeah, I like that.
There's a lot of elevator action in this
man,
thing.
Man, I will give him this. I have no idea how elevator works, but that box made me believe that he knew where to stab all the right things to make elevator.
Oh, yeah. Man, that was like watching R2 shut down all the trash compactors on the
right. I'm pretty
level.
Sure that's not how it works, but you got me convinced.
It's very precise use of that screwdriver jammed in the the works, yeah. The electronics.
They also repeated, like, used the same footage every time they checked a close-up of it. He was a genius. All right, a quick email from a listener. This came to us at filmsack@gmail.com. This is from Dan Andrews, and he says the following about FilmSack Christmas movie choices. Greetings, FilmSack crew. When you decided to do cheesy Xmas horror flicks, I remember one that I had seen on cable years ago. It was called Santa's Sleigh, and it starred Wrestling's Bill Goldberg as Santa, whose origin story is he's the spawn of Satan, hence the name similarity. And he lost a wager with an angel, and his punishment is 1,000 years of gift-giving and being nice. But now the 1,000 years have ended, and it's time for his rampage. The movie also stars Robert Culp, SCTV's Dave Thomas, like Doug McKenzie, Frank Drescher, Chris Kattan, and Saul Rubinick.
Fran or Frank Drescher?
I meant Fran, not Frank. Okay. Oops. Fran Drescher, Chris Kattan, and Saul Rubinick. It is in the same vein as Jack Frost, and you guys should check it out. So put that on some list for next year, because that sounds great, dude. That sounds really good. Oh my gosh!
I gotta say, man, just looking at our list, every year at the end of the year, I look back, and I'm looking back at 2019, and if you told me 10 years ago that we would be able to do what we do at this level, I would have said no way. We are exhausting all the possibilities up front. There's no way. But guys, in 2019 we sacked District 9, we sacked Dirty Dozen, Stargate, Godzilla, The Fifth Element, Red Dawn, Rocky 3. Like, 2019 was awesome. I have nothing but high expectations for 2020.
Yeah, me either. And also our very next episode, which will be our first of the year, and it will be Disney's classic Black Hole. Yeah, that's right. Pull yourselves together, everybody listening to what I just said. Sit down if you have to. Black Hole is coming, and that's not just where you snort the cocaine from with a straw if you're Leo DiCaprio. It's that old
hole.
It's this old, strange science fiction movie that Disney made in the 70s.
We're here to prove that there's something else on Disney Plus besides The Mandalorian.
Yes. Oh, and good point. Just to remind folks or let them know, that's where this will be, is on Disney Plus. Disney Plus's popularity has been huge. We are going to make a safe assumption that many of you have access to the Black Hole because you have access to Disney Plus. And as a result, we're going to do the Black Hole, our next episode. I guess it's just Black Hole, not the Black Hole.
It's Disney's the Black Hole.
Okay. Yeah. Disney's the Black Hole.
Disney's The Black Hole.
Yeah, it's a weird time for Disney movies. That was a strange era. A few years there where stuff just, I don't know, Disney didn't know what it was going to be moving forward. The 70s were a strange time for Disney. And we're going to take advantage of that. When I was a kid, I thought The Black Hole was the coolest thing ever, but I've not seen it since I was probably 10. So this is going to be amazing. And some of us haven't seen it. Randy, you've never seen it, right?
Never seen it. Only heard the name of the movie maybe three times in 20 years.
Right. And there was one. There's an evil robot with a blade hand. That's mm-hmm. my biggest memory. Is he chews up some dude's chest with a blade hand.
And the triple threat of Anthony Perkins, Ernest Borgnine, and Roddy McDowall.
Yeah. I mean, you got me there. Oh, hey, yes,
Brian found the Tune In Tokyo image. Sorry, I just noticed this in our chat.
Yes.
Nice work. Sorry. Throwback. Sorry, continue on. I just barely noticed it.
Yes, here's the whole video, too.
Oh, great. There you go. Who's that girl? Is that an actress?
I don't know. It's neither Sarah Jessica Parker nor Justine Bateman.
Neither took plums nor left plums.
Neither tuned in plums.
Anyway, as another throwback, but for a whole other show. Anyway, so yes, Black Hole is coming. So get your eyes on the prize. I think it's going to do it for us. Great 2019, everybody. I had a blast this year on FilmSack. FilmSack, our 10th year on the show. And Randy's right. We seem to be... I mean, I had this hunch in 2009, but I wasn't sure that we would just really never run out of material. And we don't. It's just there.
Do you remember? Mm-hmm. Like, we were just chewing through movies. I'd be like, oh, we're going to run out. We're going to have to scrape the bottom of the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And nope, the barrel just keeps getting bigger.
It does. Mm-hmm. And it not only gets bigger into the future, like we've done movies that are as recent as, you know, 2013, 2014, I think maybe even 2015 for one of them. Mm-hmm. But it turns out there are a lot of movies. And there's a lot of good ones and bad ones. And then there's combinations of those that work really well on the show. There's some that don't. So even with our vetoes, we still just have so much to eat. We're good.
It's now come to a point where when something new comes out and I know it's not going to be very good, I say to myself, oh, all right, that'll be one that we'll watch for FilmSack for sure.
Yeah, when Cats bombed 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Oh, jeez.
First thought on everybody's mind that listens to the show is you guys have got to watch that. And we will. I guarantee Cats is coming as soon as it's streaming. We're in. Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that we're still right now in the same year that we sacked Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Oh my gosh, dude, really?
It seems like we sacked that 5 years ago.
Yeah. You know what's weird is when we started FilmSack, that movie was only 4 months old. Think about
wow.
Yeah, that's weird.
Crazy.
Yeah. Also, that's how old that movie is. Weird. Anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed the year as much as we did, and we can't wait to hear from you. Send us your feedback and thoughts at filmsack@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Twitter @FilmSack. Leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. And if you're reviewing shows on the internet, like on Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, rather, or maybe you're over there on the Google Play or perhaps somewhere else entirely, Spotify, I don't know, wherever you're getting us, leave us reviews, preferably positive ones. They help us mm-hmm. when people are trying to discover new content. So thank you for all the ones you've given, and please continue to do so. That's going to do it for us in 2019. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
And that's not nice.
We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Yuppie!
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.